Five.
Real Quiet is a bit leg weary. Victory Gallop is trying. Here's the line. Real Quiet wins the 124th running of the Kentucky Derby.
Four.
And it is all Barbaro. It is sublime performance. He runs away from them all.
Three.
American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby.
Two.
And here is the first undefeated winner of the Kentucky Derby since Seattle Slew in 1977. Smarty Jones has done it.
One.
He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Welcome to the Derby Countdown on HRRN, presented by Hillendale Farms. Now, let's go trackside and join host Bobby Newman.
And a pleasant good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Derby Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld here live on the backstretch at Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. Beautiful day yesterday, clouding up a little bit today, but we have a nice morning, and we just saw all of the Oaks and Derby runners pass in front of us during their dedicated time slot on the main track at Churchill Downs. It's going to be another great day here on the Derby Countdown. Jude, we know a little bit more now about the Derby than we did 24 hours ago. The post position draw was yesterday at about 11 a.m. Eastern time. As expected, a full gate of 20 entered for the race, and the undefeated two-year-old champ Essential Quality drawing post 14 and set to 2-1 on the morning line. Looks like a fantastic field.
Yeah, it's a really nice bunch of horses. We've been fortunate the last couple mornings to watch them all train. Everybody looks pretty good, I would say. I mean, some horses, you know, you get an affinity for and they wow you, and other horses are just training normally. But it's a fantastic bunch. I'm looking forward to the race. It's an interesting handicapping puzzle. There's a lot of different horses that you can like and use in your vertical bets, as people like to say, your exactas and tries and superfectas. So, I mean, you can't not. We had a gentleman come by here, and he wanted our inside information on who he liked. And, you know, we shared with him our ideas, and he shared his with us. And so we weren't too far away, I don't think, with what he was thinking. So,
and we're not going to give out our selections yet. We're going to wait till the end of tomorrow's show to give you our final plays. But I don't think he completely agreed with who I liked, and I think he was right on board with who your selection is. To give you an idea of where we are here at Churchill Downs, so we're directly on the other side of the racetrack from the grandstand. We're basically right across from the mansion and the press box. So where the mile chute on the main track kind of links up with the main track, it's a great view, because when the horses are coming off the clubhouse turning onto the backstretch, they basically switch leads in their gallops right when they pass us, and it's a real neat look if it's something you haven't seen before. The twin spires are off in the distance. We see them basically just to our right. We're in radio row. There are plenty of horsemen, jockeys, trainers, owners, breeders walking around. A lot of other TV and radio personnel in this area. And just a beautiful day right now at Churchill Downs. It's kind of the calm before the storm. In fact, it literally is the calm before the storm, because the weather is supposed to get a little bit nasty later today, Jude. It's supposed to rain around noon today and not stop until tomorrow night. Now, the good news is it's all supposed to be gone by Thursday evening, and we are supposed to have fantastic days both Friday and Saturday for the Oaks and the Derby. In fact, the temperatures could be in the low 70s both Friday and Saturday, with almost no chance of rain as of now. But all the rain is coming in for today's card. So if you're somebody like us who likes to handicap all of the races at Churchill, if you're looking at the races on Wednesday and Thursday, don't be surprised if you get a little bit of a wet track because that rain is coming in. But right now, everything is good. As we mentioned, the post position draw was yesterday for the Kentucky Derby. They drew the Oaks on Monday. They drew the draw the Derby on Tuesday. Full field of 20, Jude, for the Derby. Essential quality, 2-1 on the morning line. And you and I differ on opinions like this. I was kind of surprised he was as low as 2-1 on the morning line, and you think he's right where he should be.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a heavy favorite. I think most people that aren't in the industry and regular handicappers like we are, they're going to look at all those ones and all the Derby preps, and they're going to say, wow, this horse is really good, and they're going to bet on him. We know Mattress Mack plunking down $2 million on him, so that's a little nice push to start your Derby favorite, and maybe that played a little bit into what Travis Stone was thinking for the morning line as well. I mean, how many horses do you know are going to get a $2 million bet on him right off the bat? So, you know, it's an interesting race, but I don't think it's beyond the pale that horse will be 2-1.
It's funny because we talk to a lot of people and everyone asks who everyone likes, and very few people that we've run across have picked Essential Quality on top. Everyone, no one has anything bad to say about Essential Quality. He's a horse that everyone seems to want to use, but everyone's picking against him. But as you mentioned to me earlier, you know, these are not the bettors. These are the people in the industry. What these people think and what the bettors do are two different things.
Right, right. And that's the job of the morning line makers, to kind of handicap the public. It's not so much handicapping the races. The morning line is the morning line maker's idea of what the public's going to do. And I think in this case, he got it right. We'll see how smart I am. Well, in a couple days.
As we mentioned, we're sitting here. We have a view of the track. We're actually seeing several horses gallop right now. All the Oaks and Derby horses have a dedicated time frame during this week where they're the only ones allowed on the track. It's from 7:30 to 7:45 local time. And as we did yesterday, we were front row and got to see them galloping and two-minute licking if you were going past us. Anything stand out to you? Nobody looked bad.
No.
But did anyone stand out as looking, you know, just flesh-wise, you know, somebody say, you know, this one is ready to go?
Yeah, I thought Midnight Bourbon looked exceptional this morning. He's a big, strong, good-looking horse by Tiz now, and he's out of a Malibu Moon Mare. That's a lot of hickory right there, as the old hard boots used to say. I mean, he looked great, and he's, you know, he's coming up to the race, you know, on a good pattern. I thought Dynamic one of Todd Pletcher's. I thought he galloped really nice, and he impressed me. Rock Your World, he's looked great the last couple mornings. I mean, can't really knock him. Highly Motivated looks good. So I think those are the horses that really caught my eye this morning.
As far as the Oaks fillies go, we've seen several that look very good as well. I know you mentioned that Crazy Beautiful, whether or not you like her in the race, she's looked fantastic in the mornings. I thought Travel Column looked fantastic as well, and Neil Foy is another one who looks very, very good in the mornings.
Yeah, Crazy Beautiful, she's just one of those fillies that kind of struck me. Like, if I walked into a bar and saw a girl, she'd be the one I picked, you know? And
how often does that happen?
Almost every time I walk into a bar. Just because I pick them doesn't mean I'm going to win. But anyway, yeah, I mean, she's just, I say she's aptly named Crazy Beautiful. She just really appeals to me. Her body style and her way of going, she's just really attractive. Travel Column is another one that I think both of us like a little bit. Search Results, Chad Brown's filly. She's very nimble, light on her feet. She looks good. So.
Well, as with yesterday and as with all of our countdown shows, we have a full field going to post as far as guests for today's program. We'll have jockey Brian Hernandez Jr. coming up with us a little later this morning. He guides King Fury in the 147th Kentucky Derby. Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and Brisnet will join us as well. He always has opinions, and usually pretty good opinions, in these big races. Jack Kendrick Carmouche will join us on the program. He rides Bourbonic in the Derby and Maracuja in the Kentucky Oaks. Jockey agent Ron Anderson will be joining us as well. He's the agent for both Joel Rosario and John Velasquez, and both of those riders have are going to be busy Friday and Saturday, and they both have Oaks and Derby mounts. We'll also be joined by Brad Cox. Speaking of somebody who's busy, he's got two of them in the Derby. He's got two of them in the Oaks. When we come back after break, we are going to be joined by Jerry Bailey and Randy Moss. You know them very well, most recently from their great coverage on NBC Sports year after year, covering us all this great race coverage for the Triple Crown events and, of course, the Breeders' Cup. It is going to be a great morning here on the Derby Countdown. This is the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Hillendale Farms.
The ultimate accolade for a racehorse is to be named Horse of the Year. To be enshrined to the Hall of Fame is to achieve immortality. As a stallion, genetic immortality is defined in two words: breed shaper, plain and simple. Two-time Horse of the Year and Hall of Fame inductee, Curlin is just that. Breed shaper, Curlin, the classic sire.
A five-time graded stakes winning earner of almost $3 million. Airdrie Studs Collected is the all-time leading earner by City Zip. Winner of the Grade 1 Pacific Classic over Arrowgate, Collected also romped by 14 lengths in the Grade 3 Precisionist Stakes, defeating Accelerate. Collected bred full books of quality mares in his first two seasons, and his first crop yearlings will be unveiled at public auction later this summer. Collected stands at Airdrie Stud for 17,500 stands and nurses. Think about it.
HRRN is your home for over 20 hours of Derby Week coverage, April 27th through May 1st. Leading up to our exclusive coverage of the 147th Run for the Roses, we'll bring you live coverage from Churchill Downs, including our Derby Countdown shows, presented by Hillendale Farms, our exclusive coverage of Kentucky Oaks 147, all the Kentucky Derby undercard races, and more. Go to horseracingradio.net for a complete schedule of shows or to listen live.
I'm Manny Franco, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Hillendale Farms.
Unbridled Stone, Cavalier on the inside, on the middle of the track, Brian Stone is closing stoutly. It's Cavalier on the inside, and Brian Stone on the outside. McCarron and Bailey, here's the finish. Again, two times to fall. Was it Cavalier on the inside? Was it Bailey with Brian Stone on the outside? Stones is apart after a mile and a quarter in the Kentucky Derby.
Dave Johnson on the call of the 1996 Kentucky Derby, won impressively by Grindstone. Jerry Bailey in the irons that day, closing down the outside and getting up just in the nick of time to get the win. Welcome back to the Derby Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld live on the backstretch at Churchill Downs. Pleased to be joined now by the team that brings you all of the insight for NBC Sports, Jerry Bailey and Randy Moss. Guys, welcome to the Derby Countdown.
Yeah, thanks.
All the insight that we can remember.
Hey, you know what? We love it, and we're so happy that we get to see you guys on the air for these big races year after year, not just the Derby, but all the Triple Crown races, Breeders' Cup, and, of course, other races every now and then mixed in. Jerry, almost 5,900 wins as a rider in your career, purses nearing $300 million. Of course, a two-time Derby winner, 1993 Sea Hero, 1996 Grindstone. Randy Moss not only was a writer for the Dallas Morning News, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, former director of operations at Oaklawn Park. That must seem like a long time ago, my friend.
And most
recently, creator of the Moss Pace Figures, and for the past 30 years, part of the Beyer Speed Figure team at Daily Racing Form. So you guys are busy.
What's the old saying? Jack of all trades, master of none?
I think you've done pretty well for yourself.
You usually don't last that long in a location if you're not doing a good job. Guys, it seems to me like we're getting somewhere toward normal this year. Tell us what it's been like for you and your impressions this year compared to what we had last year with the Derby in September and, you know, years before 2019 and prior.
Well, for me, I think the biggest thing is that we kind of know what to expect, you know, this week, although it's a smaller scale, but we kind of know what to expect going forward. This time last year, we didn't have any idea what to expect. We didn't even know if the race was going to be run. And we're thankful just to get all the races in, Derby in May and then, you know, Belmont in June. But it was out of order, but at least we got them in. Some sports didn't get their major events in. So I thought it was very, very thankful just that racing continued somewhat normal, although out of order, but at least we got most of the big races in.
From a TV perspective, we know we've made progress when we've gotten Bailey out of his bedroom.
That was fun because my commute to the dinner table was about 2 minutes,
yeah.
You know, after the show. But it was weird because, you know, as we stand around and talk, you know, we have eye contact. And I know if you're going to say something because you have that look in your eye. But being so disconnected, you know, from these guys on the set, even in the studio, I had, you know, you say your piece and that's it. If you want to follow up, it's hard because they're already on to something else. There's a little time delay. So it was really disconnected, but like I said, the dinner table was 5 minutes away.
That's twice he's brought up the dinner table. Now that he's not riding, it's all about the food.
And look at him. He's still like, you know, take three of him to make one of me. So, but it is amazing because you guys know because you do it, and we do the same thing. We did a few shows together where he was in Florida, I was here in Kentucky, and it's not quite the same. And you do the best you can, and you just have to get used to the fact that there might be a little delay or you might not hear something. And it can throw you off at first, but you guys handled it well, and I thought we did a good job with it. And it really is nice working from home. I love that.
You know, the expectations, I think, of your audience, because my expectations of every other sport were, all right, just do the best you can and get it in. So I think people understood.
And the great thing about, you know, Jerry and I working together, I mean, we're really close friends to begin with. But then all week long, like Derby Week, we're joined at the hip. I mean, we drive to the track together. We go to Starbucks together. We sit right next to each other in the trailer all week long. We go to the barns together in the morning. We analyze all the races
together.
Wait a
minute. Did you say the barns or the bars? You go to the
barns
in the morning?
Barns.
No bars for me.
I might be at the bar, but not here. That might be the only time we're not together. So we've prepared, and we know exactly what the other guy's thinking. So if I forget something that's important, he'll jump in with it. If he forgets something that's important, I'll jump in with it. So we're kind of on the same mindset, and that helps. And it helps to be together side by side on a set when you've prepared that way.
Yeah, there's nothing, we've talked about it ad nauseum, as Mike would say, and you know, there's nothing like doing it live with one another. That's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah.
And the shows are we had the best time yesterday doing this show. It was so good yesterday, and I they were laughing at me because we're driving back to the hotel, and I was really good today.
He did say that about himself.
And Sean, our producer, he cracked up because he's done like every show. When I used to do the paddock stuff here, he was my guy. He carried the knapsack with everything that I needed for, you know, the day, because I was out there all day for the whole day. So it was amazing. But it was so much fun to actually do it with somebody, you know, that you're sitting next to.
I'm sure you guys see this. I mean, it's not nearly, it's a quarter, if that, of the crowd that
right.
You usually have milling around here Wednesday of Derby Week. Yeah.
But at least there are people here.
Right.
I mean, there's something about just people walking around. And when the Oaks Phillies and the Derby runners come out at 7:30 for their dedicated time and everyone goes to the fence to see them, there's just, it kind of makes the hair on your arms rise up because you're like, this is it. You know, this is the best we have in the sport right now. And look at the attention it's getting. Everyone loves this. Yeah, we don't have as many people this year because it's, you know, we're still not completely out of the woods with COVID. And there may be some weather issues later today, but it's headed back that direction. So and there's something about it. You guys have been doing this a long, long time. You've been a team together for a long, long time. Where will you be on Oaks and Derby Day. Where are you guys located? What's your vantage point? And what do you have in store for us this weekend?
Well,
when it comes to
TV, it's style over substance. So they like to put us where they can get a look at the Twin Spires behind us. So we're on the outside rail at about the 7/8 pole going into the first turn, 7.5 pole, right where the turn starts, with our backs to the grandstand so they can have that nice view of the Twin Spires. You know, for our purposes, we prefer to be up high in the grandstand like we are at Belmont Park, where we can bring binoculars and turn around, whatever, and watch the race. But, you know, we're watching it on a TV monitor like everybody else.
Right. That's the sad part, isn't it? I mean, we always have to remember how lucky we are to be able to do what we do and go to these races and be on site and have a press pass and all the stuff that other people never have an opportunity to do. But yeah, the bad part is when the big race comes, you're usually watching it on a television set. You know, in the infield with Bob Costas at Pimlico.
That's the way I always watched it. If I wasn't riding, I was in the jockey's room watching it on TV. So was what I was always accustomed to anyway. So doing it from home, it wasn't a whole lot different from the gate to the wire for me because I was still watching it on a monitor.
Was there any race that was so important to you or you were so interested in that you left the jock's room and went and watched it live?
No, I always watched it in the jockey's room.
Always did.
Yeah. Because I could just see better.
Right.
I mean, look, if you're down on the rail at the finish line, you see him going by you once, and then you see him finishing by you. But other than that, you're looking at the big board.
And then you got some fat guy like me standing in front of you, right? So
there's a lot of people who didn't like me, so I stayed in the jockey's room,
Speaking with Randy Moss and Jerry Bailey from NBC Sports, they give us great coverage every year, the Triple Crown races and Breeders' Cup, and this year they will be on the coverage once again. Guys, they had the draw yesterday for the Kentucky Derby, as expected, a full gate of 20 going to the post this Saturday. Jude and I have differing opinions about the post position draw. I think it's important. He doesn't think it's as important. Known agenda drew the one hole. And I want to ask you guys a question two ways on this. Jerry as an ex-rider, Randy, as I'm going to ask you as a handicapper. If you're the rider on Known Agenda, what does that mean for you, and what advice would you give Irad Ortiz, who many people think is the best rider out there right now? He's certainly one of the top riders, if not the best. And Randy, as a handicapper, if you're somebody who would have liked Known Agenda, how does this affect your handicapping?
How much time do you have? Go ahead. You go first.
So I will tell you from experience, what you think is a good post can become a bad post at the break. You could get squeezed, you could break slowly, you could stumble. And what could be a bad post, you know, what you think might be a bad post can become a great post if you break well. So it's all about breaking and getting an early position no matter what, even from the one. And my philosophy was get by the wire the first time without being knocked around too much. Where about where you want to be. You can never be exactly where you want to be in the Kentucky Derby early. There's just no way. If you get to within a length or two, I want to be mid-pack. I want to be around 6 or 8 lengths off the lead. If you can do that without getting knocked around, it's a win for you, and then you take what's given you after that.
What Jerry just said about how a bad post can become a good post and vice versa is the primary reason the post position draw is the most overrated part of Kentucky Derby Week. When we used to do the draw live on ESPN and on NBC, I used to be crying to be able to say that on the air. And they used to tell me, no, don't say that. People won't watch. Yeah. You know. And as far as the number one post position goes, listening to owners and trainers on the backside, you would think that there's a pit of quicksand just in front of post position number one. And that geometry, the basic laws of geometry, don't apply when you get to the Kentucky Derby. Why is Calvin Burrell in the Hall of Fame? Because he made a beeline to the rail and won 3 Kentucky Derbies as a result. If you go back and you take the number one post positions, even in 20 horse fields, and you look at the odds of the horses that break from the number one post position, their odds ranking in the field, okay, on average, horses that break from post position number one run better than their odds ranking. Some horses have a running style that might be disadvantaged by the rail, but in a lot of cases, the whole rail phobia is just completely overblown. It really is. I think it's a great post position for Known Agenda. He's going to save ground going into the first turn, you know?
Yeah.
And okay, and here's one more thing, and then I'll shut up about it. People are, you know, ringing their, you know, whatever, about Known Agenda breaking from the rail, right? And you've heard the stat, probably. Ferdinand is the last horse from post number one, 1986, to win. Oh, it's a terrible thing. He's stuck down on the rail.
He had that terrible old jockey on him,
yeah,
too.
Right. So what essential quality drew post 14? How much have you heard people raving about post 14 for essential quality? Perfect post. Mm-hmm. You know when the last time a horse won from post 14 in the Derby? Carryback, 1961.
And that's he got crazy. Lucky. No.
And you don't hear anything about that, right? Yeah. It's irrelevant.
So a little more philosophy about riding it. You try, as a rider, at least I did, I try and save as much ground on the first turn as you can, because chances are you're going to have to go somewhat wide starting to make your move on the second turn. So at least if you can save ground on one turn, you're ahead of a lot of other horses. Because do you think essential quality can be four wide on each turn and win?
No.
Is he that good?
Nobody can
no.
do that.
So with that post, there's a very good possibility. We did the race simulation, and we think there's a very good possibility he'll be at least four wide on both turns. Mm. So what's he going to try and do in the first turn? He's going to try and get closer to the rail.
Right.
A little bit.
Well, I think everyone tries to get closer to the rail, but, you know, in reality, five of them may get over to the rail, and the other ones aren't going to get over to the
rail.
You
would be surprised how many riders' mindset is, all right, I'll take a three-wide trip into the first turn as long as I'm in the clear. Well, unless you think you're three or four lengths better than anybody else, that's probably the wrong philosophy to take.
Now, are you saying that as how many riders, or how many, you know, are the experienced riders thinking differently than, you know, the guys who are maybe in their first or second derbies as far as that goes, getting in and around that first turn?
I think it has nothing to do so much with experience as what your mindset is strategically. Do you place a lot of emphasis on your strategy in a race?
So we got a loose horse in the background, like you can hear. Jerry mentioned the simulation. You know, we have this fancy, dandy race simulation where we predict where the horses are going to be going around the racetrack, fancy graphics and everything with the horses and silks and all that. So Jerry and I collaborate on this before we talk to the graphics people, and we start laying out the race. All right, who we think is going to set the pace? Rock Your World. Medina Spirit right there. You know, right behind him, Hot Rod Charlie, and some of the other horses. Midnight Bourbon, and, you know, Mandaloon's not going to be too far off. We start laying them out, okay? Where should these horses be? And then we get to essential quality, and all the horses that are inside of him and the horses are going to be in front of him, we're like, holy crap, he may be five wide on the first turn. You know, and then you get to the second turn, and we kind of saw the same thing. So we think that's the biggest potential pitfall for the favorite, is trying to work out a trip to avoid being caught really wide from post 14.
So Bob, you're a golfer. You know how they say that, you know, the tournament can't be won on Thursday or Friday, but it can be lost? It's the same thing with the Derby. You can't win it into the first turn, but you can certainly lose it. So I think you enhance your chances if you can get to the first turn unscathed as far as physical contact and without losing much ground. And then you have to just take what the race gives you.
We did a feature piece for the Derby about jockeys' first time experience at the Kentucky Derby, and Chris McCarron, Mike Smith, and Johnny Velasquez participated in that. And Johnny was saying that the Kentucky Derby is exactly opposite of any other mile and a quarter race, because usually jockeys want to save
very
something leaving there.
Yeah.
And in the Kentucky Derby, everybody's riding like a quarter horse race out of the gate immediately. Do you find it that way? And what's your experience?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely everybody wants a good position early, so everybody's scrambling to get it, and it's take no prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you wouldn't give your brother or your mother a chance the first eighth of a mile in the Kentucky Derby. So, yeah, to that degree. But you have to have the horse to do it, too, and it's a fine line, because a lot of horses, if you ask them from the starting gate for some energy, you might not get them to relax after that. So you have to ride that line of, all right, let me ask my horse just enough to get a position I'm happy with, but then kind of let him tone back down and relax so that he has enough energy for late in the race.
And that's why Jerry was so impressed last year with the way Johnny Velasquez rode Authentic in the Kentucky Derby, and how he thinks Joel Rosario should ride Rock Your World.
Right, because leaving the Haskell Stakes with all the speed that Authentic had and as weak as he was at the wire, I thought that there's no way he's going to get a mile and a quarter. He was dying at a mile and an eighth.
I was on the same train as you.
So John Velasquez, with the outside post, he sat so still, and you have to have a very good set of hands, very, very light hands on a horse. And he broke and just stayed still like a statue out there. Now, he was no more than a length off the lead, length and a half off the lead, but he knew as he traveled from the gate to the wire the first time that as soon as he opened his fingers, Authentic would pull him right to the lead. So he waited to the last possible moment to open his hands and give Authentic the cue, all right, use some speed now. And he did that, cleared the field instantaneously, and was on the rail by the time he hit the first turn without using hardly any horse at all. And I think that's the mindset that Joel Rosario should take on Rock Your World.
Well, guys, I mean, it last year was a different year than this year. Authentic, obviously, went on to be a much better horse than I think a lot of people thought he was going to be, going on to win the Breeders' Cup Classic as well. And turned out at a mile and a quarter was no problem for Authentic. I was on the same train as you, though. I was a little nervous about him getting the distance after seeing his Haskell. Speaking with Jerry Bailey and Randy Moss, who are part of the NBC team, guys, we're a little short on time. Really appreciate
easy on that little short thing, Bobby.
Before we get your final thoughts on the Oaks and the Derby, I want to tell you a real funny story. You're talking about Grindstone, who was your second Kentucky Derby winner back in 1996. I loved Editor's Note that year, who was also Overbrook Farm. Thankfully, back then they still let entries run in the race. I would not have bet Grindstone. Loved Editor's Note.
You were 5 weeks too early.
Yeah, Editor's Note made his patented late run for a nondescript fifth or whatever he finished in the Derby. But, of course, Grindstone was a Cavalier that you wore down in the final jumps and in those then-famous Overbrook Silks.
So I know we're short on time. This will be quick. Just to your point about what to expect from riders, Grindstone was always put me in the race. Louisiana Derby, he was like four lengths off the lead, and I had horse every time I won. I could have been on the lead if I'd have wanted to. Arkansas Derby, not too dissimilar. So I thought I'd be within five, six lengths of the lead leaving the gate in the Derby. I was, I think, 14th early. He just was flat-footed, and I had no horse early. So those are the kind of things can happen to riders. You don't get what you expect to get, and you have to adjust afterwards.
Does that take something out of you? Do you feel
it
like
scared the heck out of me?
Yeah, yeah.
I said, there's no way he's going to run. He's never been this dull before early in a race.
Huh? It's wild, isn't
so
it?
So then you just play the hand that's dealt you.
Yeah.
Is there a horse in a filly in the Oaks or a horse in the Derby that you really have a strong opinion about, either of you guys?
Well, we both kind of like, you know, Rock Your World if the race sets up right for him. But I think Hot Rod Charlie is the most improving horse coming to the race. Every race this year has been better than the previous. And in the Oaks, I like Malafat. I know she's the favorite, but she's dying for a mile and eight. She's a big, leggy filly that gets getting better every race.
We got just throwing a little curveball with the Oaks this morning. Ava's Grace is going to scratch, so that's going to take some of the pace element out of the race. You know, probably that would benefit Travel Column, perhaps on the front end. I think the Oaks is so evenly matched. I mean, I know it's almost a cliche. When we talk about the Derby and the Oaks, oh, it's an evenly matched field. But the Oaks is unbelievably evenly matched. There's so many horses in there that could jump up and win it. But I think I'll probably give an edge to Travel Column just because I think the pace is going to be a little softer than it might have been otherwise.
She's one of several that have looked fantastic in the mornings
here. The Phillies have just trained unbelievably good, in my opinion.
Yeah, think about Malafat. I mean, she won despite the short stretch at Keeneland and despite a slow pace.
Yeah.
You know, no telling how good she is with that pedigree.
And she had to miss a race, right? She because of what happened with Shadwell and with the owner.
Right.
They
were going to run in the Gulfstream Park Oaks, and because of the death of Sheikh Hamdan, she pushed it to the Ashland, which really, as Randy said, wasn't her game. Speed track, short wire, and she's a closer, so it was hard for her to get up.
Yeah, very impressive. Guys, we really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule and really enjoy what you guys do year after year in bringing to life over the television – you know, what we want to see in all of these Triple Crown races and all the Breeders' Cup races. And keep up the good work, and thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You guys are too nice. You keep up the good work.
Yeah, thanks. You probably blew through three breaks, but thanks for talking.
It's all right. It's worth it.
I really appreciate it.
I've never seen so many initials on anybody's badges than you guys have. Look at mine.
For one more letter,
right? These guys get to go everywhere. Randy Moss and Jerry Bailey from NBC Sports, kind enough to join us. This morning, you're listening to the Derby Countdown on HRRN, your home for the Triple Crown.
Dialed in
winner of the Stallion Making Florida Derby, has been a leading sire of his crop every year, including being honored as the champion first crop sire of 2016. His progeny are stone cold runners of all types on all surfaces, and he has two Grade 1 winners from his biggest and best bred crop to date. Dominant Arkansas Derby winner Superstock this year, and Get Her Number, winner of the American Faro Stakes at 2. By AP Indy's Horse of the Year Mineshaft from a champion female family. Dialed In is the perfect combination. Standing at Darby Dan.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Catholic boy, one of only three American three-year-old colts in history to win grade ones on both dirt and turf, including the immortal Secretary. A six-time graded stakes winner from ages 2 to 4, he was the fastest three-year-old of his crop over 10 furlongs. In foal to Catholic boy, the Dam of Swiss Skydivers sold for $950,000. Dual surface grade one winner Catholic boy, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Hey, this is Mike Penna from Horse Racing Radio Network. Join us this Saturday for exclusive radio coverage of the 147th Kentucky Derby. We'll bring you wire-to-wire coverage of the Run for the Roses live from Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky, presented by Twin Spires. It's the most exciting 2 minutes in sports, the Kentucky Derby, this Saturday, beginning at 5 p.m. right here on Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
This is Florent Giroux, and you are listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Hillendale Farms.
Top of the stretch, Noble Reflection with King Fury moving off the rail, and Starring In My Dream swinging up to the outside. Unbridled Honor goes to fourth, still six from the lead. King Fury goes to the front with Starring In My Dreams in second. Unbridled Honor third up on the outside. Final furlong of the Stone Street Lexington. King Fury against the rail, three-length lead. Unbridled Honor second, Starring In My Dreams third. Proxy is fourth. King Fury, Brian Hernandez Jr. to win the Stone Street Lexington.
Kurt Becker on the call of the Lexington Stakes, April 10th at Keeneland this year. Won very impressively from well off the pace by the Kenny McPeak trained King Fury, 18-1 that day. And with that win and a little help from other horses deciding not to run in the Kentucky Derby, King Fury, one of the 20 set to go in the Run for the Roses this Saturday. Drew Post, 16 in the field of 20. Welcome back to the Derby Countdown presented by Hillendale Farms, Bobby Newman and Jude Feld. Pleased to be joined now by the rider of King Fury, Brian Hernandez Jr. Brian, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on, Bobby.
Well, we just heard the stretch call of the Lexington. Certainly an exciting run, a huge run from King Fury, who's been kind of an in-and-outer thus far in his career. His good races are very, very good, and he'll throw in kind of a head-scratcher in between. You've been aboard for his last four starts, including a win in the Street Sense right here at Churchill Downs. What were your impressions of King Fury in the Lexington Stakes, and what have you seen from him since then?
His Lexington performance was a really, really big race. You know, it was first race off the layoff. It's his only race so far this year. So for him, we sat back there, and he came with a big run. And the nice thing about it was from the 5/8 pole home, I was always confident in him that he was going to be able to run those horses down because he just traveled so well. And then I've come back, and I worked him here last Saturday, and he worked 5/8 in a minute, and his gallop out was huge. And then just being out here and watching him train every morning, he just seems like he's getting better and better, and he's moving forward. He's such a royally bred horse as well that you have to be excited about him.
Yeah, he looks really good in the mornings.
He does.
He's very smooth,
great.
And yeah, he's kind of a flashy looking little guy. He's not a huge horse, but he's very athletic, and his coat is gorgeous. I mean, he just looks super running around.
Exactly, and it's great to be here for the Derby too, because last year after he broke his maiden, we were in the winner's circle, and Kenny goes, "This is going to be our Kentucky Derby horse for next year," and so here we are, 6 months later has been.
That doesn't happen all the time.
No, exactly.
Last time we talked to you before the Kentucky Derby, we were expecting you to ride Art Collector, of course, in the Derby, and things didn't go his way, and he ended up scratching just a few days before the race. Riding King Fury. By the way, King Fury, easy to find out there, too, because even though he's not a big horse, you know, he's a beautiful chestnut, and he looks like a brute when he's coming by. He's just so muscular up front. He's really easy to spot, and he looks like he demands your attention when he's galloping by us. That win in the Lexington, coming off that, he was well off the pace that day. Of course, that day it was a wet racetrack, but he's won on dry tracks as well. You draw post 16. When you have a horse like this who really doesn't want to be anywhere part of the speed, is the post position a big factor for him in the Derby? And when do you start handicapping the race?
It's not going to be that big of a factor for the Derby because we have such a long run to the wire the first time into the first turn. I just have to go back through the race and find a couple horses that I can follow and just kind of figure out which ones I can follow to certain points on the racetrack. I just got to go out there and, you know, find one or two that'll get me around the first turn and then find another couple I'll make sure that I'm not going to get stopped behind. And that'll be the biggest thing. I'll sit down the next couple days and just kind of figure out where I think everybody's going to be and watch a lot of replays of how horses have run and just go over the numbers with Kenny as well just to see where we got to place ourselves.
Yeah, the race is 2 minutes, and you got to figure all that out while you're riding too.
Yeah, so exactly.
Everybody always knocks jockeys, right? I'm sure you've heard it many, many times. This guy rode that horse horribly, and this and that. But it's not what it looks like. I mean, we're watching from one side of the track, and you guys are actually in it. It's three dimensional for you, and it's a whole different kettle of fish. I mean,
exactly. Things happen out there quickly, so. What I like to do is I like to go out there as prepared as possible so I can kind of anticipate what's going to happen before it does. It just makes it a little easier and gives you a little smoother trip around there. And like you said, you know, it's easy to sit up there in the grandstand and watch it and go, oh, man, this guy should have did this, should have done that. But Sometimes as well, it's the horse that just doesn't want to do it. They are living, breathing animals.
Speaking with Brian Hernandez Jr., who will ride King Fury this Saturday in the Kentucky Derby. King Fury, trained by Kenny McPeak, you mentioned that you'll go over it a little bit with him. Is this something where you and Kenny normally get together before horses that you ride for him and come up with a game plan? Or does he usually leave it just to you? Or how involved will he be in you know, you guys deciding where you think the best place to be is?
That's one of the great things about riding for Kenny as well is we've gotten such a good relationship now. Most of the time, he just leg me up and say, hey, go out there and do what you do. You're good at what you do. And he trusted me. And it's the same thing. He gives us a lot of live horses to ride, so it makes my job easier. And it makes it to where I can go out there and not have to second-guess myself. You know, he's not sitting there tying my hands up telling me you got to be here, here, here. He kind of tells you, hey, go out there and give the horse the best trip possible and let the race develop in front of you. And that's kind of what we do. And I'm guessing that's why we make such a great team.
Yeah, it's a real team effort, Kenny and you guys that ride for him. I mean, he sticks with two, three jocks and whoever's available of that group.
And that's what makes
group.
It nice, too. You know, he's loyal to us. So and when you go out there and you don't give him the best of trips that one day, you don't have to worry about, hey, this guy's going to fire me tomorrow, you know. We're going to learn from that experience and go from there.
Brian, you know, the Derby is such – it's the biggest race, not only in America, it's basically the biggest race in the world. And I don't want to sound like I'm a homer for the U.S., but it is. It's the biggest race in the world. It may not be the biggest purse in the world, but it's the biggest race. As a rider, you know, is there a different feeling? Are you expecting something different when you're coming out as part of that field of 20 and they're playing the song and you're beneath the Twin Spires? Or are you just zoned and focused on what you need to do?
I think it's all more of the pageantry, but before the race and everything else, you know, it's such a big build-up, two-week build-up to the race. But then by the time you get out there in the post-parade and you're looking down at your horse, it's just another race. You just got to remember, hey, this is horse racing. This is what we do every single day. You got to go out there and treat it, go out there as prepared as possible and just treat it as another race. You know, it's a big deal just because of, like I said, the build-up to it. But then by the time we're ready to load in the gates, it's just another race, and you just got to go out there and give your horse the cleanest trip possible.
Yeah, you're supposed to be a professional, right? I mean, that's what you do for a living.
Exactly.
So you go out there and ride horses.
Exactly.
But, you know, a lot of people say, well, it's just another race. And it really isn't just another race, but it kind of is, too. I mean, the motions are the same, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
you're going to do during the race is just another race. But before and after it, you know, you're in the Kentucky Derby. You're thinking about it. But then once the gates open, you just got to kind of try to clear your head and do what you got to do.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but, I mean, a lot of jocks that go out there, they may have been in a spill the day before or something, and they're a little sore or whatever, but they say it all goes away once the gate opens, right?
Yeah, it does.
Like there is nothing else but you and your horse and what you do.
Exactly. And once the gate is open, you have to be out there thinking because it's going to happen fast, so you have to kind of just be ready for it. And if you're leaving the gate worrying about, oh, this is the Kentucky Derby again, the guy next to you is about to take your spot.
Which you don't want.
Exactly.
Brian, you've been a regular rider around these parts for many, many years. Like it here, planning to stay in and around the Kentucky area in places like, you know, maybe fairgrounds and Oaklawn in the winter, things like that?
Yeah, you know, my wife and I, we have three kids, and we bought a little farm over in Simpsonville, so we're 35 minutes from Churchill and then 45 minutes from Keeneland, so this is home now. I've been here 15 years, and now this is going to be our home forever, it seems like.
Well, if things go perfectly on Saturday, we hope you get to visit Baltimore or suburban Baltimore in a few weeks, and who knows after that. Hope King Fury takes you a long way, but you do a great job day in and day out. I've said it many times. Jude used to be a host on Race Day with Anthony Stabile. I'm co-hosting the shows now. We say it all the time how, you know, you don't get a lot of billboard attention. The name Brian Hernandez Jr., you know, you may not get the attention like Jerry Bailey used to or like maybe Mike Smith does. But day in and day out, great ride after great ride, you know, gives your horse a good chance of winning. You know, if this is the right horse, he puts it in the spot where it has the best chance of running well. And I think as a fan and people who like to bet the sport, all they can ask is that from the rider. And you do a tremendous job, day in and out. It's not just with these big horses. It's, you know, with anything you're riding here in the circuit. We really appreciate it, and we love watching you ride here.
Thank you, thank you. That's a huge accomplishment. That's a huge compliment.
Richly deserved. I mean, I love it when I come up with a horse and I see your name there. I know I don't have to worry.
Oh, thank you.
Well, speaking with Brian Hernandez Jr., really appreciate you joining us this morning. And we know you've got a busy schedule and you've got to get back and maybe other horses to work and maybe get some rain clothes ready for later this afternoon. It looks like you're going to get a little wet maybe today and tomorrow, but should be dry for Friday and Saturday. And all the best, and obviously wish you a clean trip with King Fury on Saturday in the Derby.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Yeah, I have to go and work some two-year-olds again for Kenny. We got to get ready for next year.
Oh,
all right,
go.
There you go. You never know. Brian Hernandez Jr., he rides King Fury this Saturday in the Run for the Roses, breaking from post number 16, 20-1 on the morning line. Big number, and Jude, this is a horse that a lot of people we've spoken to like this year in the Derby.
It looks great in the mornings. Very flashy.
Brian, he seems confident. He's a very good rider. He's an underrated rider. We do not hear a lot from him on the national scene, but he, day in and day out, does a great job on the horses he rides, and it's really fun watching him ride. And he will give King Fury the best chance that horse has of winning. Whether he's good enough to win, that's another story. If you're a King Fury fan, I think you have to be pleased that Brian Hernandez is his regular rider. When we come back, we will be joined by Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and Brisnet and get his opinions on the Oaks and the Derby. This is the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Hillendale Farms.
The ultimate accolade for a racehorse is to be named Horse of the Year. To be enshrined to the Hall of Fame is to achieve immortality. As a stallion, genetic immortality is defined in two words, breed shaper, plain and simple. Two-time Horse of the Year and Hall of Fame inductee, Curlin is just that. Breed shaper, Curlin, the classic sire.
From a world-class team of equine industry leaders with international breadth that honors history, tradition, and the sport comes business advisory expertise. Providing strategic tax compliance and operational services with innovation and determined persistence, located in the heart of horse country, Dean Dorton is revered for visionary guidance in equine accounting, tax, and business consulting. Dean Dorton. Tax, technology, outsourced accounting. Visit DeanDorton.com for all your equine operation needs.
Hi, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, reminding you that Race Day, presented by Twin Spires, comes to you every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern here on HRRN. Bobby Newman joins me for racing from tracks like Churchill Downs, Belmont Park, and Santa Anita. We'll also bring you interviews with all of the players, both big and small, in thoroughbred racing. You can tune in to Race Day, presented by Twin Spires, on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream it live on your home for all of racing's biggest events at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Penelope Miller, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Hillendale Farms.
Lionheart turns for home, and undefeated Smarty Jones comes wide off the turn, and these two hook up at the top of the stretch. Lionheart is all heart. Smarty Jones is all out, and those two deadlocked at the eighth pole, and Smarty Jones is roused to the lead by journeyman jockey Stuart Elliott, and they have taken the lead away from Lionheart. Farther back, it's Limehouse and Imperialism, and here is the first undefeated winner of the Kentucky Derby since Seattle Slew in 1977. Smarty Jones has done it. Limehouse was second, Imperialism finished third, and Limehouse was fourth.
Tom Durkin on the call of the 2004 Kentucky Derby, won very impressively by Smarty Jones. Welcome back to the Derby Countdown presented by Hillendale Farms. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld live on the backstretch at Churchill Downs. A reminder to join us Friday and Saturday for live coverage of both the Oaks and the Kentucky Derby. Friday's coverage presented by Twin Spires comes your way from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Saturday's schedule begins with a special Derby Day edition of our weekly Equine Forum show presented by FarmPate.com from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern. Live coverage of the Derby Day Undercard Stakes starting at 3 p.m., followed by our exclusive radio broadcast, the 147th Run for the Roses in partnership with NBC Sports Audio Network at 5 p.m. Eastern. That broadcast will also be presented by our friends at Twin Spires. All of that coverage will also be available worldwide with our free live streaming at horseracingradio.net. You can visit our website for a complete listing of nationwide affiliates and additional broadcast information. Well, we're off to a rousing start so far on the Derby Countdown. We've had a great conversation with Randy Moss and Jerry Bailey from NBC Sports. Brian Hernandez Jr., the rider of King Fury, just joined us. We will be joined momentarily by Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and Brisnet. And Ed always has a lot of opinions and usually good opinions regarding the Oaks and Derby. That's just a few minutes away. Let's get back to horses that we want to look at for the Kentucky Derby, Jude, and maybe horses, you know, we talked about it briefly with Jerry Bailey and Randy Moss. Known Agenda drew the rail on Sunday. You are not a big worrier when it comes to post positions. I am not a big fan of the one hole when it comes to the Kentucky Derby. It certainly sounded like both Jerry Bailey and Randy Moss were siding more toward what your opinion was than mine, and that's they just like my wife. Nobody, everyone sides away from what my opinion is. So I'm going to put it on you. If you were a Known Agenda fan going into yesterday, does the post position draw sway you at all?
No, absolutely not. I mean, if I liked the horse, if I thought the horse was, major contender or whatever, it wouldn't keep me from betting on him. I think a lot like Randy Moss in that the post position draw is the most overrated thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, to me, it was always like a made-for-TV event. It really didn't have anything to do with the horses in the race. I mean, Big Brown won from the 20 hole. Everybody said he couldn't do it. You know, I mean, I just don't – I don't get the post position thing. It's a mile and a quarter. You should be able to figure out some kind of a trip going a mile and a quarter from whatever post you draw, I think.
A couple other horses that are in the Derby that we've seen that have looked good on the mornings, but maybe we haven't spoken very much about. One of them is Steve Asmussen's Superstock, one of two that Steve – has in the race. He also sends out Midnight Bourbon. Both of them have looked fantastic in the mornings. We've heard several people like Midnight Bourbon in the race. We haven't really heard much about Superstock from anyone. And Superstock,
Nick Zito yesterday, because he trained Dialed In, the sire of
I'm going to count that as somewhat biased opinion.
Being a homer?
Somewhat biased opinion for Nick Zito. You know what? We'll get to Superstock. He was the upset winner of the Arkansas Derby in his last start. But right now, pleased to be joined by Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and Brisnut. Ed, welcome to the Derby Countdown.
Thank you. Always good to be on. Wish I was back there with you guys, but you know, Derby week, a lot of juggling.
Well, we know you're a busy man, and you've got a lot of duties for both Twin Spires and Brisnet as well as Churchill Downs, but thankful that you were able to take some time out of your busy schedule. So we now know the fields. We now know the post positions. We now know the morning line odds for both the Oaks and Derby. Let's start with the Oaks. General opinions of the field and how you see the race shaping up and how you're handicapping the field.
Definitely competitive. Love to see that they got 14, 280 combos in that Oaks Derby double. So should be hopefully some inefficient ones and some opportunity there. I love that it's competitive because, you know, hopefully the money will be spread around a little bit. I have a extremely very strong opinion in this race that Malatat is just better than these, and it's one of those fun situations where that's why we run the race, and let's see who's right. But I'd be absolutely thrilled to get her morning line price of 5-2, as good as I think this group is. I think she's better, and if you were to say I could have a Travers Future wager right now, it would be on her.
Did you say a Travers Future on Malathot?
I did.
Wow, that's really taking a step. By the way, we don't want to dispense news that is incorrect. Randy Moss gave us information that Ava's Grace, he heard, was being scratched from the race. Now, I haven't seen this posted anywhere. We haven't heard it from anyone, so we don't know. It's certainly not official, but obviously if Ava's Grace comes out, that will take a little bit of the pace out of the Kentucky Oaks.
Yeah, that'd be a tremendous added advantage in my mind for Travel Column, which hopefully will help our price. You know, the way Malatat ran down Champagne Problems, past the Champagne, excuse me, you know, gives me thought that she can run down Travel Column hopefully as well, given the mile and an eighth. But certainly without Ava's Grace in there, that'd be a huge benefit to Travel Column.
So would Travel Column be like your second choice then?
You know, I actually like her stablemate since I'm on the favorite or maybe second choice. I'm going to take a shot with Coach to get in the number. The flip side of this being a competitive race is since I'm on the chalk or maybe second choice, depending on how they bet Travel Column, if there is that scratch, you can maybe take a shot underneath. Looking at the Ragazin numbers, there's a lot of 11s on these pages, and Coach is one of them. She took a step forward in the fantasy, and I know, you know, that Brad wasn't bullish on running right away, and he's acknowledged even this week she needs to take another step forward, as she did in the fantasy. But at 50-1, I'm more than happy to gamble that she can take another step forward.
Yeah, and it kind of goes along with Malathat because they have a similar kind of running style, so if one gets a good pace scenario, the other one should as well.
Yeah, great point. And you know, I definitely expect Malatat to be ahead of Coach probably at all points of the race, but you know, if it comes 10-9, we'll be dancing.
Talking with Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and Brisnet.com. He loves Malathat, the morning line favorite in this year's Kentucky Oaks. Let's jump to Saturday and the Kentucky Derby. Last year at Breeders' Cup time, Ed, we know that you loved Essential Quality in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Made no bones about it. May have been your best bet of the two-day Breeders' Cup events. Essential Quality has done nothing wrong since winning that Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He's the undefeated champ, the Eclipse Award winner. He's the morning line favorite. How do you see the Derby shaping up?
Well, it definitely goes through him. He's done nothing. I mean, sometimes horses need excuses. His stablemate, certainly they're looking for an excuse in the Louisiana Derby with Mandaloon, and Essential Qualities never needed one, even when it looked like Highly Motivated was going to maybe spurt away from him or just get the jump on him in the Bluegrass. Essential Quality ran him down. The difference in the Derby and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile is now he's the favorite. In the Juvenile, we had a horse to beat in Jackie's Warrior that really helped our price on Essential Quality. So with him taking the money here, I did go elsewhere on top, and I actually went to the horse he beat in the Bluegrass, which I'm just kind of viewing as the key prep. You know, you can get Essential Quality at 2 or 3 to 1, depending on that Mattress Mac money, or you can get the horse who ran with them the whole way at 8 or 10 to 1. I'll take the longer price. But from a wagering strategy perspective, my thought is one of the two Bluegrass runners in the try, and then either O Bezos or Keep Me in Mind also in the try. So one logical, one long shot, and we'll see what happens from there.
Okay, so you're using a few long shots with a couple of short prices. How do you come up with those as the two long shots? What is it about O Bezos that you like, or the other long shot that you mentioned in the field? What is it about these runners that, you know, those are the ones? Keep Me in Mind, O Bezos.
Yeah, for O Bezos, I love the Louisiana Derby. Just barely missed getting second up the rail, but he was the only one who closed in with any earnestness. Mandaloon was kind of hung out to dry and never progressed. He was the race favorite, and O Bezos was able to make up some ground. Obviously, every horse and rider is trying in the Derby for a best position. It's the Kentucky Derby, but O Bezos just has the feel, you know, to me with the jock and his running style, that, and what he almost accomplished getting second Louisiana Derby, that, you know, he is game and, you know, maybe just gets his nose down for third or fourth over a tiring horse, and that could make a big swing in the payouts with O Bezos being the price he is. So, like him underneath, think he's going the right way. Hopefully he can pop on Saturday. And Keep Me in Mind, he's had excuses. The weather played a role in him missing a prep, and they had to juggle his schedule. He has a win over the track, and that Breeders' Cup Juvenile is a key race. You know, we haven't mentioned the runner-up, Hot Rod Charlie, but all three of those horses in the Exacta, especially, you know, they both won their final prep. And Keep Me in Mind won a stakes next out at Churchill Downs. So third off the layoff, definitely think Keep Me in Mind's had excuses. Robertino said, you know, no surprises. We're going to be 15, 20 lengths back, going to the backside, and we'll see if his run's good enough to get a piece.
Speaking of Hot Rod Charlie, we'll actually have Doug O'Neill on the program tomorrow morning with us. Ed, before we let you go, what's going on over at Twin Spires or Brisnet for the Derby weekend?
Well, we got all our reports up, full cards for the Oaks and Derby. I know a lot of people are excited to see Pete Dank and Kerry Thomas's herding technique report, where they look at each individual horse and how they fit the classic distance and the Derby profile. That's a very popular item. The workout reports from Bruno get a sense of what these horses have been doing, not only their final workout, but the gallops, you know, coming into the race. And most importantly, those PPs are up. What do we got, 27 races over Oaks and Derby, 8 pick fives, 2-day wagers. It's a bonanza for horse players. Ben Huffman did a great job with the cards, and hopefully the handle will show up for it.
Ed, we really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule this morning. I know that the fans of HRN love listening to you and Anthony Stabile every Thursday night on the Bristet.com call-in show from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Best of luck this weekend, and thanks for joining us, my friend.
Thank you, and I did want to mention the call-in show, so I'm glad you did. We're going to have a lot of fun tomorrow night.
All right, once again, Ed DeRosa from Bristet and Twin Spires, kind enough to join us this morning. Of course, you can hear him every week with Anthony Stabile right here on HRRN, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday nights. It's the Bristet.com call-in show. You get a chance to call in, ask questions, and they are not afraid to give you their opinions. And more often than not, Jude, their opinions are pretty darn good. We're going to take a break. You're listening to the Derby Countdown on HRRN, your home for the Triple Crown.
The ultimate accolade for a racehorse is to be named Horse of the Year. To be enshrined to the Hall of Fame is to achieve immortality. As a stallion, genetic immortality is defined in two words: breed shaper, plain and simple. Two-time Horse of the Year and Hall of Fame inductee Curlin is just that. Breed shaper. Curlin, the classic sire.
A five-time graded stakes winning earner of almost $3 million, Airdrie Studs Collected is the all-time leading earner by City Zip. Winner of the Grade 1 Pacific Classic over Arrogate, Collected also romped by 14 lengths in the Grade 3 Precisionist Stakes, defeating Accelerate. Collected bred full books of quality mares in his first two seasons, and his first crop yearlings will be unveiled at public auction later this summer. Collected stands at Airdrie Stud for 17,500 stands and nurses. Think about it.
Get in-depth handicapping advice on the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts, every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Anthony Stabile and Bobby Newman look forward to all of the weekend's biggest stakes races and break down each one with expert analysis. Get a jump on the competition with the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts, Fridays at 6 on Sirius 219, XM 201, or streaming at horseracingradio.com.
Hi, this is jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love listening to my friends on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Hillendale Farms.
The field is at the top of the stretch in the Wood Memorial. Here's Rayburn. Here's Dynamic One on the outside. Brooklyn Strong is down at the rail, and Crowded Trade is coming on now as they come for the eighth pole. It is Dynamic One. Here's Crowded Trade on the outside. Rayburn continues to battle down at the rail, and it's a 16th of the finish, and here's Bourbonic, who was last, making a late run out in the middle of the track. It is Dynamic One and Bourbonic. Dynamic One and Bourbonic, a photo finish. Bourbonic got there under Kendrick Carmouche. Kendrick Carmouche thinks he got there, and it's a major upset in this 2021 Wood Memorial. Bourbonic is 72-1.
And some people thought he should have been higher than 72-1, Jude. That was John Imbrial on the call of the Wood Memorial April 3rd at Aqueduct, the signature race for the Aqueduct meet, and Bourbonic, of all horses, coming from nowhere to get up in the final jumps at a huge number, beating his stablemate Dynamic One and running by all the favorites that day. He will break from post 20 in the 20-horse field this Saturday in the Kentucky Derby. John Imbrial once again on the call, and Kendrick Carmouche was the rider of Bourbonic. We are going to have Kendrick Carmouche on with us within the next few minutes here on the Derby Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms. Jude, we haven't really talked much about that Wood Memorial and the horses coming out of that race. And, I hate to say this, it's kind of been the forgotten race this year. And this is what happens when all of the horses that, quote-unquote, were supposed to win don't run very well or don't win, and you have these out of nowhere, nobody even thinks about it horses like Bourbonic showing up with the best race of their lives.
Well, Bourbonic, he did take an interesting route to the Wood Memorial. He actually ran for a $50,000 claiming price in December, won that race, and never raced for a tag again afterwards. But, you know, his record recently, his first two starts were nondescript. They were pretty lousy. One on the dirt going 7/8, one on the turf going a mile in the 16th. But then he broke his maiden for 50, came back and won an allowance race with Kendrick Carmouche aboard. Ran second in another allowance race at Parks, and then won the Wood Memorial. So even though he was 72-1, he was in good form coming into the race, and he just, put it all together on that day. He's got a nice pedigree. He's by Bernardini out of an Affleet Alex Mayer. There's some things there to like, and no reason to think he doesn't have some kind of a shot. Dynamic one. Another Todd Pletcher was second in that race. It was the Todd Exacta.
Well, speaking of Kendrick Carmouche, he's kind enough to join us this morning on the Derby Countdown presented by Hillendale Farms. Kendrick, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Good morning to everybody.
Good morning, my friend. Really looking forward to seeing you out here this weekend. You've been a busy man this week. You ride in New York last weekend. You fly in to ride a couple races at Churchill yesterday, right back to your home base in New York. Going to ride up there on Thursday, and then you fly back in for Maracuja in the Oaks and Bourbonic in the Derby. Who books these flights? Do you have to do all this, or does your agent take care of all this?
No, with everybody on the racetrack, I think, go to the same guy. His name is Stretch, really good guy. He's great one, man. He makes sure that we get the flights to get out on time and everything, man. He's a good guy, Stretch.
Well, Kendrick, we were talking a little bit about Bourbonic when you joined us, and we heard the stretch run of the Wood Memorial. Such an exciting stretch run, maybe an unexpected stretch run for a lot of those watching, because, let's face it, not a lot of people thought Bourbonic was one of the major players in the Wood. What changed for him that day, and what have you seen from him since the Wood victory?
Going into the Wood Memorial, I don't think much has changed as a horse that he was doing well and going into his last two or three races just as well as the Wood Memorial. I think, you know, for me, he was a mature horse when I rode him the first couple of time, and I loved his stride. I went on him going a mile, and I figured, you know, a little bit more distance would even suit him even better. And, you know, going into the Wood Memorial with when my agent called me and told me that one of my horses got hurt, and, you know, we scratched down the one horse, and it was Bourbonic. And I told him I'd take him because this horse is bred to run long, get the distance, and he proved it. I mean, I knew from the time I left the gate in the Wood Memorial, if he would pick it up, I would win the race. I mean, he gave me every intention that he wanted to win that day.
He's really been racing in sharp form. I mean, his last four starts are pretty darn good.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe they counted him out. But, you know, it's just like any other 3-0. You got to prove yourself to get recognition, and I think he did that.
Kendrick, you know, you're riding a couple of runners in the Oaks and the Derby that are big prices on their morning lines, respectively. Bourbonic is 30-1. Maracuja somehow is 20-1, even though she ran second to Search Results in her last start. And Search Results, you know, is one of the favorites in the race. As a jockey, you know, do you even care what the expectations are going in, the fact that, these are long shots? Or, I mean, are you riding these horses the same no matter what?
No, I ride my horses with confidence, no matter what, man. 30-1, 80-1, it doesn't matter. 2-1, 9-5. You know, I lay my heart on the line every single time I go out there, and my horses try for me. And you know, that's for the public to decide the odds and everything. You know, but for me, it's to get the job done for not only myself, for my family and everyone. You know.
You know, what's interesting, too, at least it was to me, is how much you ride for Todd Pletcher and how much success you guys have together. You've, according to my Brisnet past performances, you've ridden 52 mounts for Todd in the last year, and you've won on 35% of them. I mean, that's a fantastic record. I know he uses IRAD a lot and some of the other guys, but when he puts you on a horse, it seems like that's a good move.
You know, excuse me, since Parks days, Todd Pletcher supported my career, and you know, we always stayed on fire. I mean, what he put me on in the last 6 months, I mean, you're riding for a Hall of Fame trainer. If you can't get these horses home and put these horses in the right spot to win these races, you got to change your occupation, man. This guy got good horses. that's the best way to put it. This is what I've been waiting on, you know, and hey, get him to the circle, man. The winner circle is free. You just got to go get there.
Right.
That's a good term. Get him to the circle.
You certainly do it for Todd, and I think that's a feather in your cap, because it's not easy to get into that barn. There's a lot of jockey agents that would love to be riding for Todd Pletcher and can't get in there, but you're in there and you're doing well, and congratulations on that. That's fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm just pleased that Todd gave me a shot with some of the top jockeys in the country, and he know that I can do it. You can see it when he talks to me, and you know, it just feels good. You know, he believes in me, and it's good when I believe in the trainer, because that's going to go a long way.
Well, you've won a lot of races with Todd Pletcher. Another guy that you've done very well with is Rob Attriss, who sends out Maracuja in the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks this Friday. She drew post 2 in the field of 14. 20-1 on the morning line. You've been aboard for her last two starts, an impressive maiden win sprinting at Aqueduct, and her first try going long, a big effort in the Grade 3 Gazelle behind Search Results. What are your impressions of Maracuja, and how's she coming into the race?
I'm very pleased with her. I was pleased with her whenever I broke up meeting going 6.5. She finished up a fast time at Aqueduct. That's really hard to do for a lot of racehorses because the stretch is so long. She impressed me so much. Going into the mile and 8, I thought I could have won the race going a mile and 8 off the 6.5. And with that being said, she ran a very good second. Didn't break like I wanted her to break, but that was okay. I just let her settle to make her run. But Rob told me she's going in this race even better. And, you know, that just gave me more hope. And, you know, you got to just get a good trip and go from there.
Well, she's certainly another one. She hasn't ever been out of the money in four starts. You've ridden her in her last two. She has a win in the second. Search Results is one of the heavier favorites in the Kentucky Oaks, and you just finished second to her. So there's a lot of things to like. I mean, you know, how about a Kendrick Carmouche Oaks Derby double for all the money?
Huh? That would be a huge ticket, my friend. If Kendrick,
yes, I feel
if,
you, my brother,
if you could get the Oaks and the Derby
you,
double,
I'm
that
thinking,
that
I'm thinking and feeling the same way. I can't think no other way.
Yeah, that's good. I like it. I'll definitely have a copy of that ticket, that's for sure.
Yes,
Kendrick,
sir.
For a
make
long
sure you
time,
get you some you, on
you've been a regular rider in New York for the past several years. And, you know, for a while, I don't know, you know, maybe unfairly, you were kind of thought of as a speed jockey, a front-running jockey. And obviously, you know, you shouldn't be pigeonholed into that because, you know, you do very well no matter what kind of horse you're riding, whether it's a sprinter, router, derf, turf, front runner,
yes,
come from behind
yes
her. Is this something that you were aware of? And was there, you know, an effort to kind of shake that stigma of, you know, just being considered a front running type of rider?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that question because I've been wanting to explain that to a lot of people, you know. In my situation, through the struggles of me making it through New York, I had to rely on my talent to do the best that I could at my job. And I'm the best at the gates. I'm the best on the lead. I'm a very aggressive rider. So I wasn't getting the horses that I needed to come from behind and to show those people that. But I did know one way how to win, and they couldn't beat me on the lead in New York. So that's what I stuck to. It made me transfer a little bit in the last 6 months because I got different type of horses underneath me now. I can sit and know that I can finish the race with the other horses and beat them because I have the horse now. It's totally different now, you know. You ain't got a horse. You got to try to figure out the right way to make yourself a winner. And that's what I was doing. I was making myself a winner and the people around me because I wasn't on the best horse.
Well, I'm glad that you explained it because, you know, we as fans of the game and those of us who like to put a bet down every now and then, it's really been fun to watch. I don't know if emergence is the right word, Jude, because that makes it sound like you came from nowhere, and that's not what it was. But it's been so fun to watch, you know, just kind of the blossoming of your career and, you know, the showcasing of all the talents you have, in especially like the last year and a half or so, watching you year-round in New York. As I mentioned, it doesn't matter what kind of horse you're on. We know you're trying to win every race more often, you know, almost every time you're out there, you're giving the horse absolute best chance that horse has of winning the race. And, you know, your talents are going to be tested Friday and Saturday, my friend, because you've got two completely type of runners in the Oaks and the Derby. Maracuja, who doesn't figure to be that far back, whereas Bourbonic, you know, he may be, if not last, certainly near the back of the pack early. It's going to be fun to watch, and we really enjoy all the success that you're having, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, this is what I'm in this game for, to, you know, show you the love that I have for these horses and spread the love for people around the industry. You know, we're a big industry. We all come together when needed, but we need to stay together all the time and love each other and be one because that's what life is about.
Kendrick, once again, thanks for joining us this morning. Best of luck this weekend in both the Oaks and the Derby, and, of course, continued success up in New York, my friend. Great job, and thank you again.
Yeah, thank you. Y'all have a blessed day.
You too. Kendrick Carmouche, he rides Maracuja this Friday in the Kentucky Oaks. He rides Bourbonic, the Wood Memorial winner, this Saturday in the Kentucky Derby. Jude, these are two runners that we haven't heard a lot of buzz about. It seems like the Wood Memorial has been kind of a forgotten race, as we mentioned. But Maracuja, getting back to her, I think unjustly not talked about. You know, we talk about essential quality and highly motivated. It's hard not to like both of them if you like one of them. They ran so close in the Bluegrass. Search results did not blow the doors off Maracuja. She won by 2.5, 3 lengths, but Maracuja was making her first start around 2 turns that day. She ran great. Why can't she continue to improve?
She could. Absolutely. She's looked good in the mornings. Watched her gallop this morning, and she's feeling good and nice, happy filly, which is important with fillies, is always keep them happy. And she looks good out on the racetrack, and you'll notice I wrote the 220 on my Oaks PPs to remind me to make that daily double because I'm going to take a copy of that just for fun.
That may be for a $2 bet a five-figure payoff.
Yeah,
I think
it could be.
Obviously Kendrick Carmouche would be happy if either one, if not both, would come in. So that would be great. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will be joined by jock agent Ron Anderson. He handles the book for both Joel Rosario and John Velasquez. They will have busy days both Friday and Saturday. This is the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network presented by Hillandale Farms.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
An undefeated graded stakes winner on the track, Algorithms, has sired over 70% winners from starters. His top runners include Pennsylvania Derby winner Math Wizard, graded stakes winner Recruiting Ready, juvenile stakes winner and multiple graded stakes placed South Bend. And these recent stakes winners and stakes performers.
To get there, but Kanani will win it.
Algorithms, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Dialed In, winner of the stallion-making Florida Derby, has been a leading sire of his crop every year, including being honored as the champion first crop sire of 2016. His progeny are stone-cold runners of all types on all surfaces, and he has two Grade 1 winners from his biggest and best bred crop to date. Dominant Arkansas Derby winner Superstock this year, and Get Her Number, winner of the American Faro Stakes at 2. By AP Indy's Horse of the Year Mineshaft from a champion female family. Dialed In is the perfect combination. Standing at Darby Dan.
Thursday evenings, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, is the Briznet.com call-in show. It's your chance to call in and let the Horse Racing Radio Nation know what's on your mind. Call us at 888-966-HRRN and discuss the topics you choose in the world of thoroughbred racing. The Briznet.com call-in show, every Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, on Sirius 219 and XM 201, or streaming live online at horseracingradio.net.
This is Chris Landeros. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Hillendale Farms.
And they're into the stretch, and it's Tis the Law on the outside of Authentic. These two stride for stride as they come to the final furlong. Authentic is dragging in. Tis the Law all out to get by him. Authentic and John Velasquez have the lead as they come down to the 16th ball. Tis the Law still trying to get him. Authentic, Tis the Law, here's the buyer. Authentic has won the Kentucky Derby. John Velasquez does it with Authentic. Tis the Law has to settle for second. And then it was Mr. Big News. Honor AP ends up fourth. 2 minutes, 0.61 seconds was the final time for Authentic. Bob Baffert has done it for the sixth time.
Larry Colmus on the call of the 2020 Kentucky Derby, won very impressively by Authentic. He would go on to win the Breeders' Cup Classic. He would go on to be the Horse of the Year, and he was ridden masterfully in those races by John Velasquez. Welcome back to the Derby Countdown presented by Hillendale Farms. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld live on the backstretch at beautiful Churchill Downs, the Twin Spires off in the distance, Jude, but not off in the distance, sitting here right beside us. The agent for both John Velasquez and Joel Rosario, Ron Anderson, kind enough to join us. Thanks for being here, Ron.
Well, thanks for having me.
Ron, you're a busy guy. Obviously, you've done a phenomenal job with both these riders, and they do a phenomenal job for you. You're going to have a full day both Friday and Saturday. Joel rides Milfoy in the Oaks, Rock Your World in the Derby. Johnny V rides the favorite Malathat in the Oaks, Bob Baffert's Medina Spirit in the Derby. But let's go back to last year. And as an agent, you know, we can only imagine, those of us right now, you know, who have never been aboard a horse or have never been a jock's agent, what the feeling is, or never trained a horse, what it must feel like winning the Derby. When you're watching Authentic cross the wire in front of Tis the Law, what's going through your mind?
Well, you know, Bobby, I've been fortunate enough to win 5 Derbies now and 14 Triple Crown races, 37 Breeders' Cup. It's just different when these races are just, you know yourself, when you meet anybody off the track, the first thing you say is you're a jock's agent. How many times you win the Derby? Jockey, how many times have you won the Derby? It's just different. Just crazy feeling of accomplishment. I always feel best for the horse and the people that are around it, the groom, the gallop person. For me, it's all about that. I mean, I'm just a secondary person that's fortunate enough to be involved in the game and to represent, you know, the guys I've represented are just gifted riders and athletes, and I feel fortunate that way. But it's all about the animal anymore to me, and the people that surround the animal and work tirelessly. People sometimes don't. It's a 24-hour-a-day job. You take the grooms. Now, Jude knows he trained. These grooms, they live and breathe these horses all the time. It's about that for me anymore. So fortunate enough, I'm involved with four horses in the Oak, two in the Oaks, two in the Derby, which I can make a case for all four of them. Johnny's on the favorite in the Oaks. She's brilliant. I know Todd thinks the world of her, thinks she's extra special. She's a favorite. Joelle's horse is filly is sneaky okay, even from that post position. I think if you talk to Billy Mott this week, he's very excited the way she's training. She looks great. And going to the Derby, I ended up on Rock Your World kind of because of circumstances. Bob comes out. Doug and his crew couldn't wait for me for a horse I won a $1 million race on. I kind of had a feeling that John might reach out at one point, at least he'd said it, but when push comes to shove, you'd never know for sure. And so I end up on Rock Your World. I think Johnny's sneaky okay too. I see, you know, Rock Your World and a couple others running away from there, and I see Johnny kind of in a good spot, you know, in the race the first part of it. It's a nice horse. He's a really nice horse, so, and he tries hard. So, like I said, I have four really interesting chances.
Horse racing is so difficult, right?
Right.
I mean, we know that from the ground up.
Right.
It's very, very difficult. And when a horse wins a race like the Oaks or the Derby, it is important to the people that devote their lives, basically.
Absolutely.
And so... It's interesting. I mean, sometimes I wake up in the morning and I feel like you do. I feel like I'm fortunate to be in this business, to have done the things that I've done, and I've met the people that I've met and participated. But there's a lot of people that work hard every day and they never get to the level that you get to. And yeah. And you got to think about them all the time. And it's an amazing sport. It really is.
Yeah, at this point in time, you know, there's people that have been in the business for many, many years and haven't even participated. You know, you just had Kendrick on. I mean, here is a very, very capable rider who's, you know, sometimes personality gets in the way of a rider's being able to go to the next level. Here is one of the nicest people, cordial, appreciative. He's finally riding his first Derby. I mean, that just shows you. And there's people that are in the business forever that never get even a chance on a 1,000-to-1 shot in this race. So it's not easy.
You know, I'm old enough now where I read the obituaries in the Blood Horse, and you see these guys, and you know their names, mm-hmm. You know who they are. They've trained for years, and they say, oh, they won like, you know, one great. They trained horses for 40 years,
yes.
And I go, I mean, I didn't deserve to win 7 graded stakes, right? In 20 years. Right. I thought it was ridiculously fortunate.
It's no easy. It's right. No easy.
It's no easy.
Right?
Yeah, and it's so hard. It's the hardest thing you can do, I think. And sure. You know, it's amazing the tenacity of the people that work on the backside. It really is.
For sure. You know that one of the best stories for me about the whole Derby this year is look at Steve Asmussen's family. Look at his parents.
Yeah.
These people, you couldn't count the dedication and hours that they've put into this business. And like Steve said, most of the time they buy a few horses and they sell them. And, you know, these people work like dogs and still do
right.
At 79 or 80 years old. For me, that's the most amazing. They're here. They have a chance. They won a $1 million race. For me, that's one of the best stories maybe in the last few years, just the accomplishments and how they got here.
I was so fortunate to be 2 boxes away from them at the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland last fall. And just that family dynamic and how into the races they are, and you know, they root together and they hang together, and I was lucky enough when Steve won the Belmont Stakes to be there, and how much he appreciated his parents being in the winner's circle with him. And, you know, he's not the most effusive guy, but after that race he was. And he was like, looking for his wife. His wife was coming down from the box and couldn't get to the winner's circle. And he kind of, like, almost half pushed me out of the way, which is not an easy feat. And you know, to get to his wife because he wanted her to be in that picture so badly. And you're right. It's they're so unique. It's such a unique family. And Cash and him, and now his son being a rider, and his dad just like continually working at an advanced age and doing great work still.
Their dedication to the business and to the horses is just maybe unsurpassed. You think about it, it's just a beautiful story that, you know, if I don't win, I would love to see them win. Mm-hmm. They're just different people for sure.
Talking with Ron Anderson, he's the agent for both jockeys, Joel Rosario and John Velasquez. They both have mounts in the Oaks and the Derby this year. Let's talk a little bit more about the situation with Joel Rosario and picking up the mount on Rock Your World. It was a strange week there because Joel was the regular rider for Concert Tour. He was the regular rider, or he had won aboard Hot Rod Charlie. Concert Tour going into the Arkansas Derby, a lot of people thought he would vie for favoritism in the Kentucky Derby if he ran well with Essential Quality. I was supremely disappointed in his effort. I thought he had a good trip. I just don't think he fired at all that day. Goes from, you know, running kind of a subpar race for him to not deciding not to run in the Kentucky Derby. And John Sadler makes the decision to replace Umberto Rispoli with Joel Rosario, and I think John Sadler actually caught a little flack over it, not because people think Umberto was better than Joel or vice versa, but just that it was so late in the game, you know, for something like that to happen. So you, as the agent for Rosario, what is that week and a half like for you from, you know, the Arkansas Derby through picking up Rock Your World?
Okay, let's go back to before Rock Your World ran. Joel had worked him and liked him on the dirt. John had a master plan of easing into a dirt race by running on turf, which at this point I think was brilliant. So he breaks his maiden. The next time he runs in the La Puente, I couldn't ride him. I was out of town. He puts Umberto on, and he wins. Next time out, it's the Santa Anita Derby, of which I can't ride. I won, five races at Keeneland, including all those graded stakes. I couldn't get there that day. And John had originally said, it's very simple. I've had 50 people ask me, 246 wins John Sadler has had with Joel. Now that's a pretty huge number. I mean, obviously Hollendorfer and Russell Bays over the years had way more than that, but that's a huge number. So it shows you the confidence level that John has with Joel and Joel with Joel. And Umberto, I mean, I work for him. I brought him to this country. He's a very, very talented rider, of which if this had all worked out, he would have ended up on that horse. But the events that happened that week, I could kind of write a small book about. I had told Doug right after we won in Louisiana, in the race in Louisiana, I said, I'll know the day after the race, and between us, even though it's Baffert, I said, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to end up on Baffert, so don't go anywhere. No problem, buddy, no problem. Well, slightly after they crossed the wire, the horse was 1-9. Concert Tour gets beat. I've got Doug texting me, what are you going to do? I said, Doug, I'll let you know tomorrow. It's like if you bet on a horse that you think's going to win, you're like dumb. I was like shocked after the race. I haven't spoke to Joe. I haven't spoke to Bob. But I understand the pressure they were under. They were trying to secure Pratt. He had worked the horse. I'm going to tell you what, everybody that's worked this horse, including Joel, absolutely likes him. Like you can't even, he's a really nice horse. So I understood their urgency to secure Pratt. And the way it worked out with Bob not deciding till almost Friday or Saturday, then I was never going to end up on that horse. And I would, that probably my obligation after winning a $1 million race was to be on him. Then here, John had come and said, look, there's a chance we'd make a change here. If you come loose, he calls up and he wants Joel. And sometimes in this game, you just kind of end up where you think you're supposed to end up. And that's kind of what I think. Whether I win or lose or draw at this point in time, the rhythm of things kind of puts you in a spot sometimes that it's not what I call hand-picked. It's just happens. So this is where I am.
Ron, we really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. You know, we can see how hard it is to handle one jockey who does very well, but you handle two, and a lot of times they're not even in the same parts of the country when you're handling them.
That's because he's a genius.
Yeah. I don't know about all that. I'm lucky, but I don't know about all that.
We have Brad Cox standing and smiling at the comment there, but obviously you do a great job for both Joel Rosario and John Velasquez. Wish you nothing but luck, not only in the Oaks and the Derby, but with both of them going forward. They're both great riders. They're both very nice guys, and we thank you so much for joining
us. Thanks for having me, guys. Thank you. Anytime.
Ron Anderson, the agent for both Joel Rosario and John Velasquez. Joel rides Rock Your World in the Derby, Milfoy in the Kentucky Oaks. Johnny V has Bob Baffert's Medina Spirit in the Kentucky Derby and the morning line favorite Malathat for Todd Pletcher in this year's Kentucky Oaks. And I think he's right, Jude. I think all four have some sort of a shot in their respective races.
Yeah, well, those jocks wouldn't be on them if they didn't. So we'll see how it goes.
He does a great job, and he's got to kind of keep track of races nationwide for these riders, and you know, making sure that, you know, he's aware of who the live horses are and where the possible the money is. And obviously a strange scenario there with Concert Tour and Hot Rod Charlie and Rock Your World, but handled it well, and Joel Rosario ended up on the horse that he wants to be on, and we'll see if it all works out. We're going to take a break. When we come back, our final segment, we will be joined by Brad Cox, who sends out both Essential Quality and Mandaloon in the Derby, as well as Travel Column and Coach in the Kentucky Oaks. You're listening to the Derby Countdown on HRRN, your home for the Triple Crown.
The ultimate accolade for a racehorse is to be named Horse of the Year. To be enshrined to the Hall of Fame is to achieve immortality. As a stallion, genetic immortality is defined in two words: breed shaper. Plain and simple. Two-time Horse of the Year and Hall of Fame inductee, Curlin is just that. Breed shaper. Curlin, the classic sire.
The Kentucky Derby Spotlight always shines on the horses hoping to be draped in the famed garland of roses. But on the first Saturday in May 2010, jockey Calvin Burrell also found himself sharing the limelight. Having won the Derby for the first time in 2007 aboard Street Sense, and again 2 years later with 50-1 long shot Mind That Bird, Burrell would look to accomplish the unthinkable in 2010, winning three Kentucky Derbies in the span of 4 years. Nicknamed Calvin Bo Rail for his exceptional ability to guide a horse to victory along the inside rail, it was fitting that as the field entered the stretch, Calvin would find himself slipping through an opening along the inside.
Final furlong, it's Calvin Burrell and Super Saver in front, two in second, Patio Prado down the outside, Icebox is flashing home, racing up the line, Super Saver wins the Derby for Tom Pletcher and for Calvin Burrell, Burrell's third win in the Kentucky Derby.
Calvin Burrell returned to the Derby winner's circle, tipping his cap and raising his arm skyward to the cheers and admiration of the more than 150,000 fans beneath the Twin Spires. Yet another memorable moment in Kentucky Derby history.
The most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
Mind That Bird has won the Kentucky Derby. An impossible result here.
And it is all Barbaro in a sublime performance. But California Chrome shines bright in the Kentucky Derby.
American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby.
The Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 1st, beginning at 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on HRRN.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Hillendale Farms.
Highly motivated, has the lead, coming toward the quarter pole. Essential Quality second on the outside. Still a half length separate the top two. And they've opened up by 7 lengths off the turn to Hidden Stash, who swings wide in third. Here comes Essential Quality now, taking aim once again at Highly Motivated, who still has the lead coming into the final furlong of the Toyota Bluegrass. Highly Motivated with the advantage. Essential Quality is still driving at him from the outside, past the 16th pole. Highly Motivated, Essential Quality, what a finish! The champ remains unbeaten. Essential Quality to win it for Luis Saez.
Our own Kurt Becker on the call. The 2021 Bluegrass Stakes won by the 2-year-old champ, Essential Quality. He is undefeated and the morning line favorite for this year's Kentucky Derby. Welcome to the Derby Countdown. Welcome back, I should say. Presented by Hillendale Farms, Bobby Newman and Jude Feld live on the backstretch here at Churchill Downs. A reminder to join us Friday and Saturday for live coverage of both the Oaks and the Kentucky Derby. Friday's coverage presented by Twin Spires comes your way from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Saturday's schedule begins with a special Derby Day edition of our weekly Equine Forum show presented by FarmPaint.com from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern. And live coverage of the Derby Day Undercard Stakes starting at 3 p.m., followed by our exclusive radio broadcast, the 147th Run for the Roses, in partnership with NBC Sports Audio Network at 5 p.m. Eastern. That broadcast also presented by our friends at Twin Spires. All of that coverage will also be available worldwide with our free live streaming at horseracingradio.net. You can visit our website for a complete listing of nationwide affiliates and additional broadcast information. Well, Jude, we heard the replay of the Bluegrass Stakes, won by Essential Quality, the undefeated morning line favorite for this year's Kentucky Derby. Essential Quality masterfully conditioned by Brad Cox, who also sends out Mandaloon in the Derby. He's got travel column and coach in this year's Kentucky Oaks. And we are pleased to be joined right now by Brad live here at Churchill Downs. Brad, welcome to the program.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You've been a busy man, my friend. It's been a busy last several years. But you're in a great position. I'm sure, you know, when it gets to these kind of races, you don't mind being this busy.
No, not at all. And, you know, it just, you know, there's really no nerves, in my opinion, that go along with it. I mean, that Derby draw yesterday was getting a little hairy there. The last three or four draws. But, you know, overall, you know, we're busy enough with, you know, running at multiple tracks and obviously, you know, having to, you know, pay attention to not only Derby horses and Oaks horses, but other quality horses in the barn and other divisions that, you know, you got to keep your mind on task.
Well, let's start with the Oaks. You've got two fillies going in the Oaks. One of the favorites, Travel Column, coming off a huge win in the Fairground Oaks last time out. And you've got one of the longer shots on the morning line, Coach, who's also in pretty good form. How do you see both of these fillies coming to the race, and what are you looking for trip-wise from them on Friday?
Well, both are coming off really good efforts. Travel Column moved forward in her last race in the Fairgrounds Oaks, ran a career-best number. You know, she's had that steady progression from 2 to 3. You know, we're hoping the third race off the, you know, a freshening from 2 to 3, you know, she'll move forward. Coach, a little bit more of a blue-collar horse. I would use the term blue-collar. Just she's, you know, was not an expensive filly. She started at Indiana. Not that you can't win the Oaks through Indiana, but she's, you know, a little bit, you know, more rugged filly that's steps up to the plate. She gives you what she's got every single time. She did move forward in her last race in the Fantasy. And, you know, she's going to need a similar move forward to be competitive with this group. She's earned the right to be here. You know, she's owned by Rick Kieber here in Louisville, and he's excited about the opportunity taking a chance here in the Kentucky Oaks.
Yeah, her last race was really, really good, and we had Ed DeRosa on earlier, and he likes her a lot coming into this race. I thought she was the livest long shot in the field, so that might make you feel good.
Yeah, you know, she's performed well here. She won the Rags to Riches last year, and then followed that up with a good effort when she, you know, was third behind, you know, Travel Column and Clarier. So, you know, she can obviously compete with the high-end three-year-old fillies, and, you know, she's going to, like I said, have to move forward for sure, but, you know, we think it's possible.
Florent Giroux has been the regular rider of Travel Column her entire career, and he's aboard in the Oaks. Luis Saez has never been aboard coach, and he'll be riding her for the first time in the Kentucky Oaks. So is this something where you game plan with these guys, or do they know where they need to be?
Yeah, we'll talk it over with them, obviously. You know, we'll game plan. Yeah, that to answer the question, we'll game plan for sure. And, you know, Luis has a great feel for a horse. He's a world-class rider, so you're not going to be giving a lot of instructions to him. But I do think he'll fit this filly. I really do. You know, she was kind of maybe I wouldn't use the word pinch, but going into the first turn to run up to the first turn last time, maybe didn't have the cleanest run to the first turn. I'm hopeful that, you know, maybe she can get a little bit cleaner trip this time, and I think she'll need it. She'll need a perfect trip and the move forward, and she could be a factor.
We heard a whisper this morning that Ava's Grace might scratch, and I don't know if you've heard that or not, but that's got to help your filly a lot.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing, and nothing official that I've heard, but I think it would help Travel Column a good bit, you know, just with her being looked like on paper the speed of the speed.
And loses speed outside of her, which sometimes is going to be a hassle when you break.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's only a positive for Travel Column for sure. So we'll see. You know, Travel Column, she had some good trips down there at the fairgrounds that she first race off the layoff. She kind of 4 or 5 links off a speed horse. We may attack that speed horse a hair early. And then last time she set a great trip, perfect trip. I mean, that would be the trip we would like to see here in the Kentucky Oaks, I think. But, you know, if she doesn't get that, she's capable. We feel like she's capable or confident that she's capable of, you know, taking dirt, weaving, ducking, and diving in between horses. It's obviously not the trip you want at the grade one level. Things have to go right to win. But she proved here last year in the Goldenrod that, you know, she's capable of getting it done with not a great trip.
Talking with Brad Cox, who sends out a couple runners in this year's Kentucky Derby, a couple of fillies in this year's Kentucky Oaks, trying to win the Oaks for the third time. Speaking of the Oaks, the other two winners you've had, Monomoy Girl, She Dares the Devil, a couple of favorites of fans nationwide. How are these two fillies doing?
Really good. Monomoy bounced out of the Apple Blossom in good order, ship to Churchill about 3 or 4 days after the race. She'll probably work next weekend. She's moving great, doing well. She Dares the Devil, I mean, she's really on her top of her game. She really likes Churchill. She's a good horse at Oaklawn. She's a good horse in training at the fairgrounds, wherever we've taken her. She's been honest. But it's just something about her when she gets here. She just seems to really like this surface, and she's 3 for 3 here. And that's a competitive race on Friday. It's going to be a tough one, but she certainly seems like she's moved forward since the Azari. We ran her into the Azari, felt like she was just, 2 or 3 works short of being ready, but we didn't really have an option. If we didn't pursue the Apple Blossom, we didn't know if that made sense off the layoff. So we ran her a little early, thought she'd get something out of it. She did. She appears to have moved forward. I like the number she threw up as a 4-year-old, and hopefully she can continue to move forward this year and onto the Breeders' Cup.
We mentioned that Florent Giroux and Luis Saez are riding your fillies in the Oaks. They ride your horses the next day in the Kentucky Derby, and two horses that really have been a lot of buzz these days, Jude. Obviously, Essential Quality, the logical favorite and the deserving favorite in the Kentucky Derby, the undefeated 2-year-old champ from last year, and Mandaloon, a horse that a lot of people are wondering what we're going to see from him after kind of a head-scratching performance in the Louisiana Derby last time out. What are your impressions of these two coming into the race?
Nah, they're good colts. I'm like the fans and the handicappers. I'm kind of wondering which Mandaloon's going to show up as well. I mean, I really am. I mean, as much as I would like to, I shouldn't say that I would like to, but I there was no excuse in the Louisiana Derby that I could find. I mean, you know, from a standpoint of soundness, scoping, just basic stuff that you do as far as following up a horse after a race. There was nothing on my end. So, you know, it's one you just mark off. And, you know, we talked it over with Garrett O'Rourke and thought, you know, look, if this horse comes out of this Louisiana Derby and trains forward, he's earned the points to have the opportunity. And, I think the way he's trained is the reason he's 15-1, to be honest with you. He's a very talented colt. He's a beautiful colt. He's a great mover. He's a flashy workhorse. He checks all the boxes. And he had checked all the boxes up until the Louisiana Derby. I was very confident in the Louisiana Derby. He had run a big race. We didn't get it. You know, here we are. We have a chance, and, we'll see how it goes.
Well, he is an in and outer. You never know about those horses sometimes, and sometimes you just really want to geld them.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Best not to make that decision on short notice. But Essential Quality, you know, the Twitterati went crazy about his recent works and not galloping out. And I know your riders use walkie-talkies or whatever, radios, and you tell them, you know, to go easy, you know.
Yeah.
It's funny because people continually worry about timing and, he had a hard race 4 weeks out, you know. Yeah. And Bobby and I were talking about this morning how horses used to win the Bluegrass Stakes on the Thursday, before the Saturday before the Derby and run back in the Derby and win, you know, and now like 4 weeks is like, you're running your horse back so quick, you know. I thought it was a great deal that you got a really hard race into him 4 weeks out. I mean, if I was training him, I would have been pleased as punch with the effort. And people don't realize you don't have to train him too hard coming up to the Derby, right? Who wants to come out here and go 59 and 112 and all that? There's only one guy that can do that, and that's Bob Baffert. Everybody else is, trying to catch up to him. But, your horse, he's done everything he needs to do. All he needs to do is put it together on race day, and your job is just to keep a smile on his face, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, like you said, we try to put a good work in our horses 2 weeks out, and he got that the week before. He was 59 and change with Spa City with a good gallop out. They went all the way back down to the kitchen at 2 weeks out. And then, we followed it up last week. And like you said, the rider was instructed once he got to the 7/8 pole, take a hold of him. And, Spa City's obviously a fantastic workhorse. And you guys have been around horses, just because they work well don't mean they run well. In this instance, we know what Spa City is. He was the horse that took Essential Quality up to the Bluegrass. So, we used him to bring our horse up to the Derby, and we feel like it's worked out well. Like I said, the rider was instructed once he got to the 7/8 pole, take a strong hold of him. And listen, that boy was on his back, been on him for the last 6 months off and on throughout works. And, those were positive comments, and that's what he gave me a positive comment after the work, and that's what I was looking for. So,
talk about that for a minute too, like how when you have a bunch of nice horses like you do, that the good horses kind of bring the other horses along and make them better because they're working together in the mornings and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for whatever reason, if you're wanting to get a good work out of a horse, you got to put them with another horse that's capable of working well. Not necessarily a horse that's a real nice horse in the afternoon. I mean, it that can be the case. You can work grade one winners against each other if you choose to. And sometimes, maybe not grade one winners all the time. It depends on how many grade one winners you have in the barn. But, graded stakes horses can work with one another. And they get something out of that. And there's horses, honestly, like Spa City that we know, like if we need to get a good work out of a horse or, something just to stay with him, we can use him for that. And that's what Spa City's, good for at this point. Obviously he's a good offing horse as well. That kind of helps out. It's not like you're throwing another client's horse out there and I don't want to throw another client's horses out there and have them banging heads together and you kind of that they're we use the word, you use them as a punching bag a little bit, So it's but no, aspiring partner, really, is what it is. And he's definitely helped bring Essential Quality to this point of his career.
Brad, we know you're a busy man, and to be perfectly honest, I don't know how you have enough time to even spend this much time with us. You've got horses at Churchill, you've got horses at Oaklawn, you've got horses at Indiana Grand, probably have horses in New York, probably have horses in Florida, probably have horses in Texas. How do you keep track of everything that's going on, and how important is it to have a great team?
Well, that's really what it comes down to. All these big barns have fantastic assistants, and we're blessed with four great assistants that's been with us a long time that obviously we're in Indiana, Churchill, Keeneland, Oaklawn right now, and then Belmont as well. So just very fortunate to have staff that is dedicated and loyal and you know, they mean a lot to us, and we look after them, and they mean everything to us. I love my employees. I mean, I really, really do. Without them, and obviously the clients, none of this is possible. And, you know, you really have to take care of them, and they take care of us. And it's, you know, in the Keys core organization, I mean, you try to talk to them every day, go through every horse, you know, chart it out. And, you know, it may look like, I mean, if someone walked in my office and saw my charts and everything, they'd think, wow, what is this mess? But it all makes sense to me, you know. It's just the way I've done it for a long time. It's gradually grown. It wasn't like we went from 20 horses to 150 overnight. I mean, it just gradually built up, and, you know, we enjoy all the work.
Well, you guys have been very successful, especially over the last several years, and we wish you nothing but the best, both in the Oaks and the Derby, and, of course, with all the other runners you've got coming up on this big weekend at Churchill. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks. Appreciate it, guys. Talk to you soon.
Brad Cox, trainer of Essential Quality and Mandaloon, two major players in this year's Kentucky Derby, trainer of both Travel Column and Coach, a couple of fillies with chances in the Oaks, and he's right. He's got a good team. And you know what amazes me, Jude? You know, it's not just Brad. I mean, Brad and his team do well. Steve Asmussen and his team do well. These guys who have horses at four or five different places, and they maintain high percentages no matter where, what the bar track is that they're running at. So their assistants and their teams are doing their part, you know, to keep the Brad Cox name, the Steve Asmussen name, up there at the top of the heap. And obviously he vets out his assistants and his workers very well, and they obviously are the cream of the crop. We wish him nothing but the best. Want to remind everybody, we've got one day left on the Derby Countdown presented by Hill and Dale Farms. A full field once again tomorrow going to join us. Sean Byrne, the director of the equine program from the University of Louisville, will be here. Vicky Oliver, trainer of Hidden Stash, one of the more interesting runners in this year's Kentucky Derby. Doug O'Neill, conditions Hot Rod Charlie. Of course, he's a two-time Derby-winning trainer. Sent out I'll Have Another in 2012, Nyquist 2016. We'll speak to Jen Shaw, the tax director from Dean Dorton, Jared Burdine from Hill and Dale Farms, and Mark Cassie will join us as well. He sends out two runners in Saturday's Kentucky Derby, both Helium and Soup and Sandwich. Reminder, HRRN is not done today, ladies and gentlemen. Race day presented by Twin Spires in our regular spot, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. Anthony Stabile and myself looking at live racing action this afternoon. We'll have trainer talk from 6 to 7 tonight. Scheduled guest is Greg Foley. He'll be joining the Baron Mike Penna. On behalf of our producers, Lee Dallapina and Sean C., my co-host, Jude Feld, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us this morning. This has been the Derby Countdown presented by Hill and Dale Farms. We'll be back this afternoon with race day, and we'll be back on the Derby Countdown tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Eastern.